I think a strong man who loves the Lord and who keeps his eye on heaven and everything that leads, all the decisions that lead to that, that people want to get behind a guy like that. And we only need a few good men to really transform the culture.
Are you ready for a peek into religious life with a disciple and an educator? Sister Anne Catherine from the Dominican Sisters of St. Cecilia is so full of joy, she can't help but share it. Inspired by Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, thank you for joining in another holy conversation to strengthen our faith. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. I let that sink in for just a second before we pray. You know, you're going to get an opportunity today to meet a good friend of mine, but more than that, you're going to get an opportunity to meet someone who lives fully this idea of purity of heart. And what I've noticed when you encounter people that try to follow Jesus and that give all they have to Jesus is there's a purity of their intention, but they also are intentional about how they guard their heart. So today when we pray, I'm just going to ask you maybe to ask God to show you the places in your life, first and foremost, that you need to clean up. Maybe it's the way you speak to yourself or to others. Maybe it's the things you read or listen to, or maybe it's something in your environment that is putting you in a position where you can't see God. And then at the end of the prayer, I'll just invite God to show you out, to show you a way out of that so that you can see God. Because you're going to hear today from a beautiful, holy woman who I believe sees God often. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I just invite you into this podcast. I invite you, Jesus, to see us as we are. To whoever's listening right now, Lord, I ask you to show them the spaces, the places, the spots, the environment, the words they're listening to or that they're using, God, that might be causing them to not see you in their moment-to-moment, day-to-day life. I pray, God, that in showing them that, you don't do it in a way to shame us or break us, but you do it in a way to encourage us that when we see you, we never want to look away. I pray, God, for Sister Anne Catherine and for the National Dominicans, Lord. I pray for the work that they're doing. I pray that they have the confidence of knowing that you, God, are with them and that you are alongside them and that you are using them to do amazing things, God. I pray, Lord, lastly, for anyone listening right now, that you give them freedom. You break down the walls that have kept them from seeing you. And I pray, Lord, for anyone who's listening who's maybe got a little bit of an encouragement to go to the sacraments, that you give them an opportunity, you encourage them to go to the sacrament of reconciliation so that we can clean our hearts up and see you more. I ask all these things through the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may know this already, but I absolutely love the National Dominicans, and I have one of my favorite National Dominicans on the line. So welcome to the Foxhole, Sister Anne Catherine. Are you there?
Thank you, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
It's good fun. We're going to have fun today, but before we jump into the hard questions, I like it when you walk in that we have a moment where you can just talk about some things that make you comfortable. So tell me a little bit about maybe a saint that you'd say, Joe, this is the favorite saint currently. I know in the seasons of life that changes. And maybe, sister, even a scripture lately that's really been speaking to you.
Thank you for the question, Joe. I think my name my religious name is after St. Catherine of Siena, and she continues to be a great role model in my own life. I think I love everything about she's an unusual saint. Some people take a little while to get to know her, but I think when you read her letters, especially, and read what she said, she's such a saint for our time. She, like us, lived in a time of considerable turmoil and unrest in the church and the wider culture, but she faced all of that with a great deal of zeal and single-hearted love for Jesus. And her relationship with the Lord was very strong, very unusual, and had a lot of manifestations of all kinds of miracles and gift of prophecy and everything that she received. But the thing I've always loved about St. Catherine and the thing that's inspired me about her witness is her great example of really living all the virtues, but particularly fortitude. And I think that's a virtue that's very timely for all of us as Christians today. In terms of a scripture verse, during COVID, I think I've really been meditating very much on Romans chapter 8, but I think, you know, that 8:28, God works all things to the good for those who love him. I just keep coming back to that because it's just a real meditation on God's providence. So in the midst of joys and trials, of how we can see with the eyes of God, really with a perspective of wisdom. And so I keep coming back to that also.
And that was Romans 8:28. Is that what you said?
Yeah, 8:28.
I want to make sure. Well, let me ask you a third question, because Jason mentioned the glorious city of Cincinnati in your introduction. So I presume you are a Bengals fan. Is that right?
I was when I was there, I guess you can say in a manner of speaking, because I was in the city. But, you know, I think they've had some hard times since I've entered the convent. I haven't really followed them very much, I have to be honest.
So there you have it, folks. The Bengals can't even keep a religious sister as a fan. That's how bad we've gone in the city of Cincinnati. Well, sister, I know there are a lot of folks listening that I want to talk a little bit about your religious, how you got in your religious vocation and life in a religious order. But first and foremost, I think it's probably interesting to folks listening as to how you got where you are today in the faith. Can you just break that open for us a little bit?
Sure. So I am a cradle Catholic, but I guess like a lot of people, probably, if I had to guess, you know, living my Catholic faith has really been a journey. And, I guess I took a lot of things for granted and didn't know a lot growing up. My mom's a convert to the faith. My dad, was a lifelong Catholic, and, we always went to Mass on Sunday, but I wouldn't call us a pious family. We didn't have a lot of, devotional practices in our home. I went to Catholic school from grade school through college. But again, I was in Catholic education at a time when, maybe people thought it was sort of foolish to pay attention to some of those devotional practices. So I just didn't learn a lot about my faith, until I went to college. And that was really the first time that, I began to learn the why about, and really learned to love the church. I spent a semester in Rome in my undergraduate time. And I think even more importantly for me, I began to be surrounded by a lot of good friends who, for them, their faith was extremely important. And it was that lived witness that really helped me to go deeper, I think, in my own relationship with the Lord. So I certainly didn't think of becoming a religious sister while I was in college or even when I was in graduate school in Scotland. But it was when I came back to Cincinnati and I started teaching, something I had always wanted, had always had an interest in. And then the Lord started, you know, slowly knocking on my heart. And really it came as a great surprise to me. It was not something I ever thought about. It was not something I ever intended. But, you know, when you ask the Lord, okay, what do you want to do with my life? Then he begins to work and he works on our hearts. So it was a gradual process. I went to visit, the Nashville Dominicans actually several times. And it was really through the witness of the sisters and meeting the sisters and visiting a real convent that I actually thought about religious life for the first time. So it was, yeah, God, as you mentioned in the intro, it's been a great adventure, and God is definitely a God of surprises.
Praise the Lord I like a God of surprises. That it keeps life interesting for sure. Tell me, sister, a lot of folks listening probably have a vision of religious life, and I think sometimes we even glamorize it, either to the good or maybe we make it the worse. But I'd love for you just to share with our audience an average day, week, month, kind of what it's like day to day, because you've been at it for a while. And then, if possible, sister, maybe pull something out of life in the convent that we can put into practice in our homes. Because I think there's a lot. I've been to your mother house. I've prayed in that beautiful church. So I know personally I have some ideas, but I'd love to hear what your thoughts are around that as well.
Yes. So first, I'm going to start with the last part of your question first. You know, I think the similarities, as we start looking at the ways that vocations in the church and the ways that God calls people, there are always differences in the particularities of the call. But in the universal call to holiness, there are so many similar things. So I have one sister, and she and I are very close, and we always have been. And she's married with 5 children. And we've always talked, but she actually kind of discerned religious life at one point. And we've always talked about our life, me as a sister, my sister as a mom and a wife. It's really 2 sides of one coin, because they're vocations to love. And as we learn to love, you know, our sphere of influence, or maybe the way in which it's expressed, is a little bit different. But the vocations in the church are complementary, and that's certainly something I found for myself. So going to the first part of your question about some of the stereotypes or preconceived notions, I certainly had them, and they were negative. So I thought that people don't enter convents or religious life anymore, and if they do, there's something wrong with them, or maybe they, you know, didn't have a lot of opportunities in life, or they couldn't find the right guy or something like that. So basically, they go there because there's nothing else they can do. But I think the great surprise for me when I visited our community in particular was the diversity of sisters and personalities. There is the essential nature of the Dominican vocation, you know, but the way, as people have said, if you meet one Dominican, you meet one Dominican. It's just fun, all the diversity of personalities, even as we're unified about our call. So in terms of maybe a little bit about Dominicans first. We were founded by St. Dominic in the Middle Ages, in the early 1200s. And as a religious order that was founded at the time of monastic communities, we were new because we were also a preaching community with kind of what you would consider nowadays an active apostolate. So Dominicans have this beautiful vocation that is both contemplative and active. So in our life in the convent, we have a lot of silence and practices that would be similar to monastic communities, place of cloister, for example, times of community prayer around the liturgy and the divine office. But we also have a very active apostolate. As Jason mentioned in his intro, we are teachers, so we are fully engaged in the apostle of teaching, and we teach in over 50 schools in 30 states and dioceses all across the U.S. and beyond. So we definitely have a heart, you know, for evangelization and the salvation of souls through preaching and teaching. And but the particular way in which we live out, you know, the call of the Lord is through the profession of what the church calls the 3 evangelical councils, or the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. So I guess what would be my pearl to bring to the, you know, to lay people in general, is that I think for all of us, we must first be committed to a relationship with Jesus. That's where any apostolic activity or zeal comes from. And so if we're rooted there first in a relationship with Christ, then we can go talk about him or preach him to the world, or do good works in his name. And so to kind of bring that life of contemplation and action into a healthy balance or attention even.
Yeah, I think St. Paul of the Cross referred to his men as apostolic mystics. And I think about the National Dominicans in much the same way. This apostolic works, but also this mystical prayer life. So I'm going to just hit pause here to anyone listening and say, if you live in Nashville, if you travel through Nashville, you go to the Mother House for night prayer. It's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful things I've ever experienced. And our family went quite a few times when we lived in Nashville because we were so blessed by the experience. And it brings me to the second part of this idea of religious life. I want to dive in with you, sister, for just a second, which is, for years we've been hearing there's a vocation crisis. And then I go to night prayer and was stunned by the amount of sisters, young sisters, at night prayer. And I remember going when you guys would be off the road and kind of everybody was home. So what have the Nashville Dominicans done that when we have religious orders shutting down all over the country, what have you guys done that seems to have kept the numbers so high and young?
Well, I guess the first thing would be, what has God done? And, you know, God chooses, you know, not so much up to us. I mean, I think what is our call as religious or in any vocation? It's to be faithful, and it's to answer the call when you hear it. So do I think God is still calling young men and women to the priesthood and religious life? Absolutely. But the question is, are we being quiet enough, still enough to hear his voice? Because often he speaks in a still, small voice or a whisper, as we hear in the scriptures. So the beautiful thing about when I look at our sisters, it is amazing that God is blessing us. Our average age is just under 40, and you know that's quite a bit younger than the average of religious. Something that I can speak really to what drew me to our community, because I think it's also what draws a lot of our sisters. I was surprised, just as I mentioned earlier, about how the sisters were so much, their life was so clearly focused single-heartedly on the Lord, and they were so much themselves. And sometimes we think that those two things do not go together. But I think actually, as we grow in our vocation in Christ, we become more of who he has created us to be. And I certainly have seen that with our sisters, particularly with a certain joy, I think, in our community. We laugh and have a good time together. But I think there's a seriousness of purpose and a real desire to be faithful to the church's vision for religious life, you know, just to love for the Eucharist, the love for the sacraments, and I say this especially to Father Capon's men, a real love for Our Lady and the Rosary, because I know that was one of his great devotions as well, and it is certainly a mark of our community. So I think when we're just faithful to what the Church proposes, the model of religious life, the ideal, you know, we open the door for the Lord to bless us, and thanks be to God, yes, he's sending us young women. And not just from the U.S., but increasingly from outside the states. And so it's just, I just stand back and marvel at what he is doing. It's really beautiful.
I think that is definitely a huge blessing to anyone in Nashville. And anyone who's been around you guys know that y'all smile, and there is a joy that you bring to the table consistently. So Jason brought up education. You've brought up education. Sister, there are a lot of men that listen to this podcast. And I know in Nashville in particular, you have St. Cecilia's, which is a school for women. Kind of talk to us a little bit about the young ladies that you've taught through the years there. How can we as dads be more present to them and more encouraging and inspiring to them? And you've got an open mic here, sister. So talk to us a little bit about what you've seen and heard and advice you'd give us. Because we always seem to, I got two daughters, so I know, we always seem to say the wrong thing. So talk to us a little bit about how we can do better.
Well, I have a heart for dads because I have a great dad myself, and I have worked mostly in my years of teaching and in education, mostly with teenage girls. I've worked with, you know, in grade schools, but mostly in all girls high schools. And so I've worked with a lot of dads over the years, and I guess one thing, especially about teenage girls, but actually also sometimes about little girls and grown women, is that, you know, we as women can sometimes struggle to know and feel in the depths of our hearts our worth and our dignity. And I think a dad has a huge place in conveying this truth, both in word and action, to his daughter. To let his girls know that, first of all, you know, they are a child of God the Father, but also, you know, if you're a dad, that your girls, your daughters, are your beloved daughters. And I think sometimes just spending time getting to know your daughters, I would sometimes feel sad when people said, oh, you work with teenage girls. That must be so terrible or so hard. I'm like, no, it's so wonderful. But part of what makes it wonderful, especially with teenage girls, but really girls of any age, is just letting them talk. We know that girls fill up much more space talking sometimes than their dads do or their brothers. And but I think listening long enough so that you learn what's on their mind, you learn what their interests are, and I think really listening with a heart of love, so showing them patience and love, because sometimes we can want to turn kids off and, you know, especially as busy parents or grandparents, you know, you're busy about the next thing, but really listening to them. And I guess also, too, you know, I've had so much wonderful contact with good men, including you, Joe, over the years. And I think one of the keys to being a good dad, a good father, a good man who's a role model in whatever context is simply showing respect for women, period. In word, in deed, in praying for them, in listening to them and honoring them. So men, I just encourage you to just strive it to be a good and godly man, and to really have an ability to cultivate that ability to sacrifice and to give of yourself so that your family may blossom as the Lord wants them to be. And that's really, I think, good for all kids, but probably especially good for girls.
Amen to that. I think praying for your daughters and our brides and is a good practice to be in as consistent as we can. So, sister, my time is getting short, and I don't want to miss an opportunity. Last week you were on retreat. We spoke about that before the podcast. But I think you have a unique view of life from the inside of a convent into a world that is chaotic and violent and a little scary even for folks nowadays. I don't necessarily need you to point those things out because we're all super aware of that chaos. But what I'd love to know is, what is it from your place of prayer and silence and apostolic mission? Where are you encouraged, and where do you see the opportunities for evangelization currently in the church?
I like that question. I think a lot of our evangelization nowadays is simply through presence, and I think again, as Father Capon showed so well, through, you know, fidelity to our vocation and especially through our friendships. In the past year, you know, we work in schools, so we also are not immune from any of the things that people, you know, head of a family or anything like that, just all the worries of the world and the culture. So I think certainly taking time every single day to pray. And then from that place of prayer and really connecting with the Lord, especially through the scriptures, especially as often as we can go to Mass or receive the sacraments, so that it's not my strength that's propelling me forward, it's Christ in me that's working. But I think just then learning to be present to other people. A lot of times people are worried, or they're rushing around, or they have plans and their plans are dashed, and, you know. So if we can just be present and listening to people, that's what I've especially been doing over the last year, is really spending a lot of time listening and offering friendship. And I think that's particularly what we as religious sisters can do, is really be that feminine heart in the heart of the church, and calling people back to what is essential, our relationship with Christ, you know, our dignity as human persons, that we don't always have to take sides, but really kind of see that we are one, holy and Catholic. Like, it's a universal, and we may be a little different one from another. So, and I think also, too, that especially, and because I know I'm speaking to a group of men, you know, that nowadays perhaps people are just asking in general, where's the leadership? Where's we have a crisis of men? And we certainly do have a crisis of men in our culture, but I just encourage you guys really to be the leaders that we're looking for, you know, whether in your family or your church or your business. I think a strong man who loves the Lord and who keeps his eye on heaven and everything that leads to all the decisions that lead to that, that people want to get behind a guy like that. And we only need a few good men to really transform the culture, but also to realize that Christ will be with us. He made us for this time, and that he will be with us you know, whatever time that we're in, whatever the challenges of the moment, that we always have, you know, have through grace what we need to be a saint in this time.
Okay, so there you have it, friends. Sister Ann Catherine is saying to the men, it's time to step up. And I'm summarizing her statement, but she's saying it's time to step up and get moving. So, Sister, how can folks connect with the Nashville Dominicans either for a retreat or maybe to spend some time? I know there's an online presence as well. Can you share a few ways how folks could connect to you and potentially to the Dominicans?
Sure. I think one of the best places to go initially is the website, NashvilleDominican.org. We also, I think it's on Facebook. We have a Nashville Dominican presence on Facebook. We have a retreat center about 45 minutes outside of Nashville in rural, beautiful Tennessee. And we have retreats. Now, COVID is, you know, we're not quite having the retreats every weekend that we have in normal times, but a lot of times we have retreats available for men and women. We certainly have retreats for young women discerning a religious vocation at our mother house. So on the website, you'll see the contact number for any of that. But I think those are good places to contact the Nashville Dominicans.
Perfect. Well, Sister, I want you to know that I'm grateful and for your friendship and for your kindness and prayers for myself and my family. And I want you to be assured, as you already probably are, that I pray for you often and my wife prays for you often. We consider you guys to be role models to our children in following of Jesus. So I want to ask you to pray us off of this call or off this podcast. And at the end of your prayer, Scott will come in and close it up. But I'm just honored to have had a few minutes with you and hope you're assured of my prayers constantly.
Definitely. And I will be praying for you and all of your listeners. So let's pray together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen all those who may be listening, to give them all the virtues of your own heart, so that they may be men in imitation of you. We ask, Lord, especially that their example, their witness, may be a strength to their daughters and the women in their lives. And we pray together through the example of our beautiful mother, who is a mother to all of us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Ann Catherine, for joining us today. And I have to say that Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. And so, in my opinion, you started off this episode in the perfect fashion. Now, it's also a chapter that fits Father Capon's life very well, and I highly recommend it for anyone searching for a good passage to meditate upon. You know, when it comes to vocation, I think that a lot of the time we get kind of locked into the one that we're in. And sometimes the other vocations, we think of them maybe as curiosities, or we really just don't pay that much attention to them, other than knowing that, hey, there's a religious sister that teaches my child, or there's a priest that celebrates the sacraments for us. And, you know, that's great. We appreciate that. But we don't really think about how they live their life and what that means for us. See, the reality is that God has given us the vocations to enrich the entire church. And so the plurality, the diversity of vocations are really meant to remind us and to teach us about our own relationship with God and our own vocation. And so being able to hear from you as a religious sister and from that feminine heart of the church really has so much to teach us, even as men, and to motivate us in our own roles as fathers, as husbands, as workers in the vineyard. And so we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today to share your wisdom, your experience, and to give us that encouragement to live our lives as holy men. You spoke about the call to both contemplation, a life of prayer with Jesus, and the active apostolate. And as men, I think we always need reminding to make sure that we live our lives rooted in Christ so that we can live out our vocations from His strength, not just from our own. However, what I really feel like the Holy Spirit is inviting me to put forward as our challenge this week is slowing down and listening to the people around us. Man, it is easy to want to jump in and to solve problems. And there are obviously circumstances when that's an appropriate response. But Sister reminded us of the importance of listening, of the impact that we can make on our loved ones when we take the time to hear them. St. James tells us in his letter that we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. So I pray that we all heed that advice this week and show our love for others by focusing on listening more completely to the people around us. We want to thank you for listening today and hope that you've been inspired by this holy conversation. And we look forward to catching up with you next time in the Foxhole. Until then, stay humble, stay courageous, and may Servant of God, Emil Capon, pray for us.
We can surely expect that in our own lives, there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.